The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plenty. Boy, we're in the final hour of this week's edition. Jimmy Hill joining me along with his wife in the studio tonight. A one-on-one conversation about his campaign. We'll have Anna Broche in the studio Monday at 5 for her appearance in that time slot. We're going to ask pretty much the same docket of questions. That last one was kind of directly aimed at you, and I hope that the audience got a little bit more insight into how you're feeling about the citizens review boards. Does it mean a great deal to you that these unions haven't jumped on board like you would have expected with a former firefighter?
No, it's not surprising.
I'm sorry. No, your mic is cold. So we'll I don't even know if tap yours and see. Nope, you're cold too. Obviously, we're going to have to sit here for a second until Tom gets back. He had a transmitter offline. I wish that you could. There's no way I can help you because you're on the other side of the mic. Heat up those two mics for me. Thank you.
There
buddy.
We go.
There
yep,
we go.
That's awesome. Yep. The almost expected the unions to do what they have to do because I understand the politics of this town. I've worked closely in a lot of campaigns. Directly with the local, with the fire department, and ironically, the police department. And it's a political game. And the reason law enforcement and more so fire department is so political, they can't strike. They can't do anything else. They have to be involved in politics. And it's been part of my, my upbringing. It's why I understand this game so well. It's one reason. There's other, functions in my life that I've been part of. I would not have expected their endorsement under this administration. The price would be too high. If they had done it, first off, we didn't look like a valid candidate in the beginning because of the money. And when you have that much money, it eventually bites you in the butt. And that's what's happening now. This administration gathered so much money that people recognize what that means. And they understand that that money is going to be, there's only one way to pay that money back to the people who put it out there. And that's with taxpayer dollars through some form of political favoritism. And people don't appreciate that. And that's why we're so strong in this race right now. It's why we're gaining ground is we're not encumbered to, in any way financially to anyone that has their, their hand out for taxpayer contracts. We're just going to run the city and with a transparent government. We're going to run it with openness and the unions, they could not really, even if I was like their best friend in the world, it would have made no sense with the money that was raised and to put themselves in a bind. And we're talking individuals. The union's not at any risk. People's jobs would be at risk. Literally, they would be fired. When you can promote an entire line of assistant chiefs, I don't know how many, but a lot, with zero review, zero anything, and wave a wand and make that kind of budget adjustment and actually crush a very sacred, longstanding advancement process through testing and promotional process, it's political, and people know it, and many of the firefighters don't appreciate it. Most of them don't, actually. The only ones that do are the ones that paid the money to make those positions happen, and it's survival, too, and I don't blame any of them. I'm not mad at any of them. I just know that inside the fire department, it's a big deal, and unfortunately, it's part of it, and it is part of it, and I don't hold it against them. I really don't. Those genuinely are my brothers and sisters. They're nothing's changed with the way I feel about them. I love them. I'd do anything for them. Even after this is over with, there's not one of them I'm mad at. When they were blockading the entrance to the debate the other night, I thought it was actually kind of sad that they were being asked to do that. And they didn't even get invited into the hall to watch the debate. They just were used as a pawn politically. But most of them are smart enough not to be out there, being stupid like that. And only a handful are exposing themselves to that kind of public, there's a lot of citizens out there looking at that going, man, these guys are making a serious mistake. Good news is I'm not going to hold it against them. And you know, when we end up doing this and getting it over with, they're my brothers, they're my sisters. We're just going to provide a better example. We're going to set the tone of integrity and just, you know, let them do what they do best, and that's save lives and make people, you know.
It's interesting that you brought that up. I did get a chance to read, while we were off the air for a minute, a few comments. Not all. Still 20 plus. Every time I read a few and knock them off, more get in line. And that's good. You guys keep doing that. I can't guarantee that I'll be able to get to all of them, because we do generally have a few conversations off air. But Tracy said, who do you owe? And let me read this to you. It says, who do you owe? It seems like every elected official gets elected because he promises somebody something. What about you?
It's interesting. So the word promise does not exist in any document that we've put out for our campaign. The word promise, that's where people get in trouble, because they promise things that eventually they end up not being able to deliver for some reason or another. So we owe nobody anything financially. Our campaign's so grassroots. It's not only it's not underfunded. It's just to the dollar what we need to keep moving to the position we're in. But what I owe thousands of people a solid, integrity-based run for 4 years if they put me in there. And that's all. And that means I follow up and I do keep my word. I provide access to the government at every level. I give away some of the power that is granted because of the form of government back to the city council, so that they can start doing their jobs again, because they're not right now. It's sad what they're doing. They literally can't do anything without making a political deal. They have to play the political game to get their sidewalks fixed, their drainage problems addressed. And if you doubt that, if anyone doubts that, look at the neighborhoods that have gotten downtrodden and look what the council people in those neighborhoods have done. For the most part, they've stood in opposition to the big political games. And those neighborhoods are suffering. And it shows up, you know, in actual, you know, on the street, you can look and see and feel it. And the citizens know it. And so you got to look at it. And it doesn't mean that it's corrupt. I'm not calling this corruption. I'm just calling it what it is. And citizens know what it is.
Michael wants to know, would you be interested in getting rid of voicemail at the city hall? I've never been able to call and reach anybody
that's so
when
funny.
I had a
that's,
question.
That's my pet peeve. You got several hundred people in that building.
Here's your pet peeve, Michael.
I would absolutely, day one, and this is, you know, there's money involved, but I would spend whatever it takes to make the phone calls that come in rotate down a call list, and a human being would try to answer your call before any Audex or any Rolodex or any system. The problem is when you gathered into 630 City, it's lost there forever. You have to, there's too many departments to sit there and wait for that laundry list to run out. I want a person to answer the phone, because it's not always one problem. Sometimes there's a couple of things you want to handle while you make that call. So using existing employees, I would add to their duties and have them help distribute those incoming calls to the departments where they should go. And then I'd have somebody in those departments assigned to make sure that those calls are answered by a living, breathing human being. We're returning to that in a lot of areas. Technology will help with that, ironically. You know, there's a system that's going to make that easier. But people don't call to listen to a message. There's nothing ever solved by listening to a message in a municipal government. It involves a conversation with someone that's going to address an issue or a problem. So trying to solve it with a long laundry list of messages is a joke to me, and it's always been a pet peeve. Look forward to fixing that one.
Tasha has two questions. Let's see. The first one is, do you feel you have to reach out to Democrats in order to be able to win?
So I think we have to reach out to everybody.
I'll get to question two when we get back on the
absolutely.
Break.
So you have to reach out to everybody. And we're doing that. Actually, we're doing extremely well in every segment. The far, far conservative right understands us well. I'm a constitutional, driven person. And ironically, most Democrats have looked at the field and understand that my environmental stance, my common sense brings something to the table that's unheard of in politics. So I'm crossing lines that no one expected, and it's got people worried, very worried.
Excellent. Jimmy Hill in the studio tonight. We've got him for about another 45 minutes, and then he's out of here, as am I. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. I'll go through some more of your comments, but there is really a telephone sitting right here next to me. And you can call in, and you can ask him your question personally. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
question. Do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
American Electrical knows the people they hire are their most valuable resource. And if you're an electrician that feels a little underappreciated at your current job, then you need to apply at American Electrical. Simply put, people who come to work at American Electrical never leave because the job is that good. Extremely good pay and great benefits, including a bonus plan for all employees. Work with the best and be the best at American Electrical. Drop by their offices on St. Augustine Road or call 737-7770.
Ramona Flea Market has stuff, new stuff, used stuff, fun stuff, kid stuff, stuff to put stuff in, stuff to build stuff with. And who needs all that stuff? You! And what do you do when you have too much stuff? Sell your stuff at Ramona Flea Market. Open every Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Book your space now. Call 904-786-3532. Ramona Flea Market, Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
This is the Savage Nation.
Talking about Avenatti, I've never seen a lawyer get away with this. As Cohen is being sentenced, this dirty rat gives a press conference saying Trump is next. The legal profession was never developed for people like Avenatti, in my estimation. You think Jerry Nadler's any different than Cohen? They're all cut from the same pickle. You ought to thank God they didn't become judges. In Nadler's case, he went higher than a judge. He became a congressman. Can you imagine that?
Michael Savage, a host like no other. Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Said, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Jimmy Hill joining me in the studio. We're going to finish up the second question from Tasha, and then we're going to go to Bob and one other that's not up on the computer yet. Adele. So Bob and Adele on hold to speak to you live. But the question from Tasha was, if you wanted to model Jacksonville after a city and be mayor of it, and it wasn't Jacksonville, what would it be?
It'd be a combination. So Jacksonville has struggled its entire existence with no identity. And I think of all weird cities, one city in the United States purchased their identity with a monument that they built themselves to what the city meant. It was the arch. St. Louis.
I knew you were going there.
It's because it's iconic, and you can't not know what that city is when you see it. And we have nothing like that. Jacksonville has no iconic image. Ask any marketing person to demonstrate that we have an iconic image, and we do not. So something of that nature would be good. But I like Austin, Texas, has done a great job of taking a city that didn't have a lot going on and actually confronting what they had that was good, utilizing it. And then you have Nashville, who has – their identity is music, and they built an amazing little community, and it's community. So it's a combination of that. And then if Fort Lauderdale was the boating capital, it would be because they made access to the water a priority for their citizens, and we have not done that. We've made it a challenge. As hard as some of the city employees work to do that, it's a challenge. So those cities combined would make, you know, kind of the perfect city. And I know it was one she was looking for. Those are the ones in the U.S. And then European cities, I hate to say it, I think we do a better job here in the U.S. of taking modern and mixing it with old. And Jacksonville has nothing but potential. That's the thing that's lost on a lot of people. We have every element of a hugely successful, iconic, destination city. And I'm not trying to build a tourism economy because it has its own problems. But I think it's like a canvas that needs to be painted on.
And have you thought about a brand for us?
For about 4 years now, I've been trying to come up with a brand, and we're clearly, and so it's kind of funny because one of the administrations had a tie to this word, in the past, so it didn't really take off, but we're the gateway to Florida. We really are. And that's what St. Louis was. We're also sort of the light of Florida. It's like the light point. Like it's actually a really positive place when it hasn't gone to what it's turned into very recently. So something along those lines, some kind of combination. And if it was a multi-purpose iconic structure of some kind that actually served more than just a tourist destination, I think we could benefit from it. And I often look to
like the Space Needle in Seattle,
something of that nature. Yeah, but
like you said, the Gateway Arch.
And I look at Mayport a lot. You look at Naples and some place where like the sponge industry is a destination.
Tarpon Springs.
Yeah, exactly. So there are cities that have made use of the small little. I call it a village because it is a village. It should almost have its own government. Focus on that. That's sort of more the real identity behind Jacksonville, the history of Mayport. It's now what have we done? We stripped it bare and tried to turn it into a cruise terminal, and then we left it abandoned. And now there's nobody but speculators out there trying to figure out how to literally, I think they're going to exploit it. So I hope they don't. I hope the voice in Mayport stays with the citizens, but matches the citizens of Jacksonville. So it's a great question. It's sort of exciting to think about what 4 years of just positive thinking and adding culture. Like another example is where the Kentucky Derby is run. There's a hotel that is an art museum inside the hotel. And I often reference that because we have a lot of similar structures. We have nothing like that. Nothing with any culture. Other than what is kind of injected the symphony and people try, and there's lots of people who are successful, but none of it's really hit big and kind of become iconic. I would really love to see a lot of that happen. And the reason it isn't is the government's in the way, and we can help in a lot of ways, but we can also get out of the way, let some of these more interesting, perfect example, Bill, really quick, the rail yard district, the business district in Duval County, has beat their heads against the wall just to do this kind of thing with opposition at every turn from the government. Now the government sees their success and now they're latching onto it and trying to take credit for it. But these business owners struggled to make use of, kind of buildings that were obviously repurposed from something that had been to something new. So, but for bureaucrats, it's impossible to see anything visionary like that. So they fought and struggled to do it. Jacksonville can do a lot better job with those things.
All right, we're going to go to Bob real quick. Adele, I see you on the line. We may get a hard break before I get to you, but I guarantee you, you will be next up after Bob. So you might sit through a commercial break, but I really want to hear your question tonight. But let's go to Bob. Bob, your question was answered earlier in the evening, but I'll give it to you again. He wants to know your stance on the Craig Airport.
So, Bob, I'm going to listen to the citizens, but I cannot imagine why it wouldn't make sense, both from the amount of noise that's generated and the safety it would provide to extend the runway. It doesn't require they buy any more property. But if someone brings to me some legitimate science that says that it'll be a lot louder or a lot more dangerous or a lot anything, I think we ought to actually crank the throttle up on that economic engine, let that airport provide the jobs and provide the other services, because from everything I understand about aviation, and I'm fairly well versed in this, the sound levels will theoretically be much lower than they are today. But if I'm wrong, I'm willing to listen, but I can't find any evidence in contrast to what I'm saying.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your call tonight.
Yes.
Oops.
So, I hope he got that answer. I think he was listening at the time, but I hope he got the answer.
I thought I heard him there at the end. I apologize.
If I cut you off, that was me. He has no control of the phone.
I didn't do it, Bob. Okay. I wasn't Jimmy.
I'll take a call back. We don't usually take double calls, but I will take a call back from Bob, Tom, if it comes up. Oh, okay. All right. Good deal. Let's go to Adele. Adele, I can give you a second or two. I don't have a synopsis of what you're interested in, so you're on the line with Jimmy Hill.
Well, we were all under the impression that our current mayor used to be a certified public accountant. Just since the real estate taxes come out, I trod into a branch office and give them the better part of $2,000 cash. And instead of handing me a receipt, the young lady starts to walk away from the counter. I said, hey, you haven't given me anything to prove that I just gave you the better part of $2,000 cash. Oh, she said, oh, well, I got to go get this other lady to help me and witness. And there's your money right there on the counter.
Right.
I mean, my goodness, what a fiduciary boo-boo.
All right. So, Adele, I'll give you his answer here.
Yeah, it's service. What she's talking about is service and making sure that all employees, and that sounds like it might have been a tax collector employee, possibly, or maybe not. I'm not sure what department she was in. But service is something you actually learn to do that job through training. And I'm pretty sure that was a mistake just as, but not many people probably carry cash to that process. I'm going to give that employee the benefit of the doubt and say that it was a mistake. And I hope she learned. And I hope you taught her. You clearly provided a lesson for her that day. And maybe she was just so comfortable that she didn't realize what she had done is a literally.
Should she have handed the cash back to the customer?
She should definitely not walk out of sight without a receipt handed. I get her point exactly. She should have been handed some documentation that cash was there. The only good news is, and this is good, is that was very well recorded through probably video surveillance. So she would not have been able to take it, even though it was probably kind of suspicious feeling. That it would have been difficult. That is assuming that that all that tape and everything is available. There are systems built in. So I always want to give the employee some benefit of the doubt, but I agree with you 100%. She needs to be trained on how to deal with a cash transaction. That's a struggle for a lot of millennials. It's I'm not saying she was a millennial, but it's something that you actually have to train in. If you don't train, people don't know.
All right. So I get screen names off of Facebook.
Right.
So sometimes people have screen names that are odd. Tom John wants to know how you feel about corporate welfare, because it seems like all of our taxpayer dollars go to the sports district, and now they're talking about an aquarium and a Ferris wheel. I got a personal grief. I got to add this, Tom John, just ahead of time. Every city that has put in one of these silly aquariums that's near the water.
You're going to hear about this.
Fails.
Yeah.
Atlanta is fantastic, but the reason they're fantastic is if you go in Atlanta, it's a couple of hundred miles to water.
Yeah. Atlanta took the aquarium idea, and after they did it, it died. There was no point in anybody within 700 miles of Atlanta building another aquarium, because they cornered the market. It's an attraction. It's amazing. Now, in Orlando, that's a slightly different situation, because they have features that can actually support the numbers necessary. It's pointless for us to talk about an aquarium as a draw to Jacksonville when you have one that we can't compete with economically. We really can't bring whale sharks here without an incredible investment in infrastructure. And then there's zero guarantee you're going to get that. So I'm not a giant fan of the aquarium idea either, or corporate welfare. Now, the aquarium is just
one. Don't forget
one.
The Ferris wheel.
Yeah, Ferris wheel. I'm fairly sure that's another. I think we need to be original. I mean,
now, I've ridden the Orlando Eye.
Right, right.
Maybe it's just the pilot in me, but you stand in a bubble and you go around in a circle.
Yeah, so let me get to the corporate welfare thing. So I'm not a fan of giving money to businesses to come here unless that money is guaranteed to return over a period of time in enough quantity to more than make up for the whatever expenditure we do to get them here. And we are way too generous, in my opinion, right now with our land and our treasure as a city.
All right, I have another one along that line when you get back. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Joining me in the studio tonight, Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor. Don't forget, Monday, another opponent of Lenny Curry, Anna Brochet, in the studio at 5 o'clock. You want to tune in for that. Phone lines are still open. Another 20-plus people have messages. I'm going to go through some more of them and do just like we did in the last segment. We'll run them right down. But the phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'd really like to hear from you. And if you'd like to send me a text, you can. Facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Venezuelan opposition protesters today confronted security forces on a main avenue in Caracas, venting their anger over President Nicolas Maduro, a nationwide blackout and shortages of basic necessities. They pushed against the police, who backed up a little bit, but security forces were still maintaining a large presence in the city as the supporters of opposition leader Juan Guaido were gathering. A grand jury's 16-count indictment against actor Jesse Smollett might be the result of prosecutors looking to charge the Empire actor for individual lies they contend that he told about the night he says he was attacked by two masked men. And heavily armed assailants again attacked an Ebola treatment center in the heart of Eastern Congo's deadly outbreaks today. One police officer killed, other health workers were injured. Patients were hiding in isolation rooms for the gunfire. This is SRN News.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
SNC Square Roofing. Everything you should expect from a roofing contractor and more. Hey, it's John Vitas, the voiceover guy. SNC Square Roofing replaced my roof, and I'm here to tell you, my wife and I were amazed at their quality of work and how well they kept the job site so clean. SNC Square Roofing, from the estimate to the last shingle, you can count on a job well done. SNC Square is a certified CertainTeed shingle master applicator. Give my roofer a call today. SNC Square LLC, roofing with integrity. Call 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-60s. Partly sunny tomorrow, high 83. Sunday night, scattered clouds and dropping to 63. A mix of sun and clouds for Monday, a 40% chance of rain and 83 for the high. Monday night, mostly cloudy, isolated showers near 63. Sunny, a few clouds Tuesday and Wednesday, mid-70s. And then Thursday and Friday, mostly sunny, 83 both days.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Jimmy Hill joining me in the studio. And when we went into break, we were talking about Ferris wheels and all that stuff downtown. And you were talking about corporate welfare. I have some unsubstantiated reports, and I very rarely ever try to do this, but or try to avoid doing it. Let's put it that way. We had the Adams thing going on for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, kind of in the middle of the night, the whole thing was pulled and dropped.
Right.
No fanfare, no we could get a second chance if we had this much money. I was told by some pretty credible sources that it didn't fit in with Shad Khan's model of the shipyards project, which was where it was going to be based.
Well, the clue that I agree that that's probably the case. The clue that I got that made that clear is the drawing. The last set of drawings for the improvement to the sports
zone, the entertainment zone.
The entertainment zone didn't include a ship. And that made me realize, wait a minute, something bigger happened here. And it was months before the announcement. And the fact that the request to the Navy sat on the mayor's desk for a very, very long time without being sent, and that nothing was done, according to sources that are pretty, I trust them way more than I trust this administration, made me understand that they, all of that hard work, all of that citizen input, all of those donations, all of that time was wasted because it didn't fit the plan. And I understand. Now, here's you know, the flip side of that is the ship museums have a certain amount of risk. They're not a guaranteed great idea unless you have a top-notch organization run them. We did. We had a set of really talented people working on that project, and they had done everything. Now, the story is the Navy killed it, but we all know that that's a phone call to the Pentagon from the right person, and it goes away. There's no other reason. There's no scrap value.
The Navy's looking to get rid of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. So I think every citizen sees through it. I hope, you know, that some evidence comes out to substantiate it. But I'm just going to go on the record saying I don't believe what I heard. I don't believe it. I really think it was something else. I think it just didn't fit the glassy, shiny drawings that we're all seeing. And it actually created some other problems. The way the veterans are being treated right now with the arena naming, and the fact that the wall sits in the kind of a corner of a parking lot from the original Coliseum, the Veterans Memorial Wall, makes me just think that none of that fits what this vision of this area is. And to me personally, I would make that the focal point. I'd make that whole, this is a veteran town. We are a Navy town. I would make a really much larger focus on that than we do today. I understand it. Maybe I'm old fashioned. Maybe it's just because I'm older. But I understand what these, you know, what the word valor means. I understand what honor means, and it's important to me. And I don't believe that anybody in this administration right now, including possibly the people whose job it is to interact directly with the veterans, completely, totally serve the purpose of providing that citizens' tiny, tiny effort to say thank you for what they've given, especially the veterans who've given all. The names on that wall, the people who put everything on the line. So I'm a little, to me, I'm a little sentimental about that. You know, my father and my grandfather both served, and I didn't. I went straight into the fire service. It's probably my only regret is I didn't spend some time in the military, but I was, 19 and a firefighter, so it wasn't a little gap there. I went straight in. But I just don't think we're serving our veterans right, and the Adams definitely is suspicious, the whole thing. And now that they're leading them towards a potential new ship, and that conversation's going, the real proof of what I just said will be in how that's handled. And I think only time will play that out. So that's a good way to find out if I know what I'm talking about or not. So watch what happens with this conversation around a ship that's being offered for free that would replace it and work just as well. If it shows up on the riverfront, I'm going to eat some crow and say, I'm sorry, but I just think this was orchestrated.
All right. So let's, I'm going to get back to the comments online because they're blowing up. Like you said, I could probably, with all the mayoral candidates, I could probably do a couple of hours straight with each and every one of you. We're going to go to Marty real quick. And Marty, I've got them stacked up. So we talked about this earlier, but go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, Jimmy Hill, Marty from St. Augustine. We met at the rally.
Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, and come down to my meeting sometime, the second Monday of the month, Republican call. Listen, I want to ask a question.
Marty.
Uh-oh. Lost you.
Okay, well, Marty went through. We lost him. Dropped off the line. And I didn't touch a thing, Marty. He wanted to ask what you would do about crime in Jacksonville.
So that's one of those complex issues. I would fund it enforcement properly so that we could get our number of officers on the street to the levels, post-2015 levels. I would do lots of intervention. There's a lot of things that can be done years in advance of a person becoming a criminal that involves social exposure to mentorship and that sort of thing. And right this minute, I would engage the community immediately in a information flow so that these criminals who they are well known, ironically, most of the time, can be apprehended almost immediately or before the next crime. And that's the problem, is there's, you know, that's that communication issue again. A lot of people are afraid to interact with law enforcement because A, they don't trust law enforcement, and B, they may be the next victim as a result of that. So we need to establish a line of communication.
Let's go to Jake real quick. Jake's got a question about downtown. Jake, you're on with Jimmy Hill.
Yes, Jimmy, what will you do to help the downtown so people can go down there and not be intimidated by people begging? What will you do to help the homeless in the whole situation down there?
Address it. So that's a great question. It's not being addressed. We're relying on a handful of established homeless support mechanisms that, you know, Clara White and some others, to facilitate homelessness. And that means that and as a firefighter, I always thought the cruelest thing that society does is we actually enable a human being to survive a night on the street, and we don't take in the task of getting him off the street as the priority. So homelessness is probably the number one problem with downtown as far as economic decay. That it's a big part of it. People don't want to interact with people every corner, everywhere you go, being panhandled. So there's a lot that can be done. I'm not going to try and reinvent the wheel. I'm going to look at what other cities in the nation are doing that's successful. There's tiny house villages for certain segments of that population that are hugely successful. But the main thing is, you know, we have to address the addiction. You know, a lot of that is, you know, there's mental health issues as a clear part of that. There's addiction issues. There's addiction to drugs and addiction to alcohol. And we have to aggressively, as a community, accept that society now has to play a big role in that. And we've, you know, we've definitely tried to stay away from those issues as not a core function. But now it's collapsing our core of our city. So I think we have to address it. And then the other thing is we don't have to focus all that homelessness in one place. We actually probably should treat it just like any other situation. Divided into correctable groups. You have your veteran homeless, you have your family homeless, any group with kids needs to be a priority. Any homelessness that affects children should probably be priority one. Find out what happened, help figure out what happened and get them off the street. Most of the groups are trying to do that, but you still see them every day. You see this as a regular thing. And then find the people who want to be homeless, and then eventually society has to reengage in some form of mental health interdiction. We used to institutionalize people that weren't able to take care of themselves. There's some cost involved. Maybe at some point we find a softer, more humane way to deal with that. We don't call it institutionalization. We just handle it through, you know, something like an assisted care type situation. But we have to deal with it. We can't leave these people on the street. It's inhumane. And right now it's absolutely destroying downtown. So it has to be hit head on.
All right. Well, you know, we've seen a lot of destruction going on downtown, the old city hall, the old courthouse. They want to do it to the landing. It's interesting that there were plans for what the landing would look like after the payoff.
Right.
And that's a political payoff. We all know it. And believe it or not, I'm pretty happy that Tony Slaman is getting it, because I know how much free stuff he's done for the city for years. And that breach of contract lawsuit was a very valid lawsuit on his part. He should have won that. They knew he was probably going to win that, so they decided to make it a political thing, settle it out. But I'm amazed at the artist renderings of the landing not being there that were done well in advance. Why not repurpose the landing?
Right.
I'll tell you why.
It's funny. Unfortunately, that's probably my fault. And is there, after this break, is there a minute?
Yeah, you got another 15 minutes.
So that's going to tie back most likely to Metropolitan Park. They have to mitigate some area. And it took me a little bit to figure out, what in the world are they doing? Why would they even be having this conversation? And I realized it's probably to mitigate the loss of Metro Park from the trust fund that currently apparently held Metro Park. So that's part of it. And so I'd like to talk about what should be there, you know, in my opinion, and definitely chat a little bit about that payout. That was pretty incredible. And I like you, am glad that the leaseholder did not get crushed.
All right. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Jimmy's going to join us again for the last segment. We'll be right back.
question. Do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, March 15th at 8 p.m., see and hear Elton John in concert. Farewell, Yellow Brick Road at Veterans Memorial Arena. Friday, March 15th at 8 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents Verdi's Requiem at the Jacoby Symphony Hall. And Saturday, March 16th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Z, the founder of the original Tunis restaurant, and Robert Rukab, the owner of St. John Seafood Restaurant, have teamed up. The result is a new national chain called Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp features the time-tested recipes of seafood and chicken and more. Two Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp locations are now open in Jacksonville, 847 Dunn Avenue, just west of I-95, and now also at 101 Monument Road, just off Atlantic Boulevard. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp, the best you've ever tasted. 847 Dunn Avenue and 101 Monument Road.
Anytime is a great time to give flowers to the ones you love. At Kuhn Flowers, we know that all too well. That's why we offer the longest-lasting, most beautiful floral arrangements in Jacksonville. Kuhn Flowers has the perfect flower arrangements for birthdays, holidays, good days, and even bad days. Show that special someone just how much you care with a gift of flowers from Kuhn Flowers. Call us today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com.
Discover the revolutionary new 2019 Sea-Doo models at Jacksonville Power Sports and enjoy the added peace of mind of a 36-month manufacturer warranty. Reliably tough on rough waters, all saltwater certified Sea-Doo models are tested right here in Florida and are designed to withstand the corrosive conditions of coastal waters. Visit Jacksonville Power Sports today and experience the unbelievable adventures waiting just beyond the shore. Sea-Doo, escape the everyday. For complete details, please visit the BRP Limited Warranty at an authorized Florida BRP dealer.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I don't know what's going on with the phone system. I know Marty tried to call you twice about the crime downtown, and it, for some reason or another, it just keeps kicking him off. I called his home from my cell phone and it rolled to voicemail. So
interesting.
Yeah. But we'll work on it. Marty is a former police officer from New York. He's really concerned. He lives in St. Augustine, but he's concerned about the crime here in Jacksonville because, you know, what we do here kind of rolls over into other areas. You can see in Clay County that we're seeing the Clay County Sheriff down there, Daryl Daniels, who's doing a bang-up job at policing his community, making raids and busts and drinking coffee in people's living rooms and just really doing a phenomenal. And that crime's running back across the Duval County yep. line. And so it's like spraying roaches in a cabinet. You run them from one cabinet to another. And I know you addressed the crime issue, but we can't police our way out of, we can't arrest our way out of this current issue. And you talked earlier about some more programs. Can we program our way out of it?
No. Obviously, crime lives in the hearts and minds of the citizens of the community. What we have to do is fundamentally shift large segments of our population into engaged citizens where they might turn and walk away and not do something. We have to, you know, that's the difference between a neighborhood that's high crime and low crime is the willingness to make a call, to ask a question, to interact, to figure out why somebody's where they shouldn't be. That's the only difference. And it's the citizens. It ain't going to come from the government. The government's not going to solve much of anything. Most of us have figured that out. It's going to have to come from the citizens. You're seeing that happen across Jacksonville, though. There is something big happening. And, you know, maybe I'm in a bubble because I'm running for office, but I actually think it's a big deal. I think there's a big change about to take place. And I think it does involve, you know, new leadership across the board and a new high integrity, high availability type of government. And I just think I'm going to be part of it. It just seems like it's moving in that direction in every way. We're excited to be where we're at.
Julius had a comment based on the last phone call. And Julius says, we can't keep the services programs for the homeless downtown if we want to have any kind of expansion downtown. I don't know if expansion's the right word, but
I understand what you're saying.
So you got Salzbacher downtown, River Regions downtown, Salvation Army downtown. I've said this many times on the show that, you know, if you move your garbage cans over to the far side of your yard, eventually the raccoons all go over there.
Right. Well, so, the issue that kind of strikes me is you're never going to solve any addiction issue if your entire community revolves around access to the drugs that are in the or the alcohol that's there. Part of the treatment and part of correcting some of that is isolation. There are places in Duval County that are not heavily residential that have facilities and infrastructure that could help with some treatment. But the main thing is you can't just spread the homeless situation out and expect it not to damage neighborhoods that it's spread out into. Good examples, I heard a story the other day when the Super Bowl came here, we literally swept the community of the homeless and just took them places and pay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about helping them in other areas and trying to eliminate some of the homelessness. And then, of course, we have to address the fact that we are being shipped homeless people from other communities, orchestrated by the communities themselves. Bus tickets are given to homeless. Every time it gets really cold north of us, we receive a large influx of homeless who were paid and shipped here by those communities. And we have to reach north into these communities, find out who and why they're doing it. But I've talked to multiple homeless people over the years who first night here, they land here, they think they're in Florida, it's 30 degrees and it's raining. And they're like, oh my God, I'm not far enough south and I'm stuck here. I got a bus ticket. I got here and I thought I'd be okay. That's not good.
Let me jump in real quick. Karen had an addendum to that last one, totally unrelated, I believe. She said that she bought a condo downtown. She works downtown and she wants to take her kids to the library and she can't because of the homeless issue.
Oh yeah. No, it's like watching Mad Max. You know, it's like society has collapsed in certain blocks of downtown. And the weird thing about it is there's other solutions. I think faith is a big part of that too. I think we have to engage our churches, all of our churches, in some type of a solution. I think we're going to have to start literally adopting the process of healing some of these people who have illness, and addiction is an illness. And I think churches are going to be part of that. It doesn't mean take them into your neighborhood church and deal with them, but I think that's a resource that's underused and underutilized. Feeding them and putting them back on the street is failing us miserably.
That's funny, Denise. I had to chuckle because I was reading her comment. I'm trying to blow through these as many as I can. Denise said, "I'm an accountant. I know how money should be spent, and we're talking about revitalizing downtown. We talk about the bed tax, but we throw all of the bed tax money at football and football only.
Right.
Bed tax could be used for anything that's tourist related or for the enhancement of someone who visits our town. Why not enhancing something relative to the symphony, which is what I enjoy?"
Right. I totally agree. And there's some money spent, from that fund in things like that, but clearly it's one-sided, and clearly sports, specifically football, I assume wrestling will be next, which is tragic and sad, but don't get me wrong, I'm from the Dusty Rhodes era, you know. It's not like wrestling's not a legitimate industry. It's just that's not the identity I was talking about earlier.
Right.
That's not my vision of what I'd like to share with the rest of the world, that Jacksonville's good at is the home of the new wrestling league or something of that nature. And hey, all you wrestling fans, don't get me wrong, I'm 100% a fan. I just don't want to base our identity around it. I hope it's successful. I hope it's a really, really productive thing. But she's right. You know, culture is valuable to a lot of people, and we're getting some things, but they almost always die.
Well, here's something that a lot of people probably don't know. Orchestras and symphonies in cities around the country are struggling to maintain.
Absolutely.
We only have three in Florida. And of those three, they have three harpists.
Right.
Those two harpists live here in Jacksonville. Husband and wife team, married for 20 plus years, see each other 3 days a week. Maybe that's why they're married 20 plus years. They're my neighbors, or they're neighbors in my neighborhood. One is the harpist for the South Florida Symphony, which is based out of Naples. The other is the harpist for the Jacksonville Symphony here in town. And there's one other symphony, the Miami Symphony Orchestra. You have a huge state of Florida, and you have three symphonies that are left.
Wow.
And we have, whenever I have gone to the symphony, it's always been a wonderful time. It doesn't have to be the bastion of rich people.
Right, right. I used to, it's funny, so I was exposed to it some through public school. They actually came, or we came to Times Union Center several times as a kid. And I'm dating myself, but the theme to the Star Wars, I'm sorry, not Star Wars. Let's go back one more. And all you Star Trek fans, don't, it was just, they played the original Gene Roddenberry type. Mm-hmm. And it stuck in my head. You know, I was 8 or 9, 10 years old or something like that. And trying to do the math here, make sure I didn't make some kind of a math. I felt like I was 8 or 9, but it sticks with you as a kid and you value it. And since then, gone to the Nutcracker with my wife during Christmas, and you know, we're not a wealthy family, we're not the rich. It can be enriching for anyone, and children really need to get exposed to it in public schools. You know, bands are dying. I mean, music's dying. You think about that.
Well, this is a question that came up long before you and I started. This is, we're going back 8 months or so, and a woman called the show, and we were talking about shop classes, we were talking about band classes, we were talking about all these things in the public school system that don't exist anymore. And we got into a long conversation about the fact that they don't exist because we've become so liability conscious.
Oh, yeah. That's a part of it.
How do we get around that and teach kids woodworking? And, you know, Terry Parker High School used to have an entire auto shop.
Oh, yeah.
And you could take your car in there and have headers put on it and everything.
I'm a huge advocate of just the city of Jacksonville partnering with businesses and the school board and buying Sears, because Sears is the ultimate vocational training center for Duval County. It's got parking, it's got a shop, it's got square footage, it's for sale very cheap.
At Regency.
Yeah, it's a perfect place for a regional training center for HVAC, carpentry, all these things that we need now currently because we're in an uptick economy. They're having a serious problem finding skilled labor, even minimally skilled labor. So that's a big part of it. And you know, if we get this thing, and we do have an election coming up, and we do need some help, if we get this thing done, and we get past this primary, and we could definitely use some help, and I think we're running out of time.
We are. So real quick, how do they reach?
JimmyHillForJacksonville.com. Please take a look, JimmyHillForJacksonville.com. So
that's your website?
Yep, that's it, JimmyHillForJacksonville.com.
The wife is doing sign language over here.
She was telling me to throw out the phone number, and it's right there on the website. And I'd love you to look. And you know, we're obviously a different look. We're a different type of candidacy. I hope common sense rings through. And I hope citizens have had enough of what we've had. I think, you know, if you have too many bean counters and not enough common sense, you end up with what we have. And it's not impressive. We're not heading in the right direction.
All right. Jimmy Hill for mayor.com. You've been listening to him on I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll be back here next week. Join me on Monday with Anna Brochet.